Hi, my name is Gus Owens. We are downtown at the Sheraton, and I am a poet slash writer slash songwriter.
And how did we meet you this morning?
I met you this morning. I picked you up on a taxi fare, and we're here. I guess you would call this, it was meant to be, I guess.
So one thing that I've been finding with a lot of people who do social justice work on the side or are pursuing their creative projects is that they're also doing a practical piece. For you, your practical piece is driving taxi, and on the side you do your passions. Tell me how that all pieces together for you.
Well, I started this mission about 2 years ago. I started writing at age 17, 25 years ago when my mother passed. I just sat up in bed and wrote a poem called Mother Dearest. And at that point, everyone wanted me to get that published, but I was going, this is a piece for my mother. So 25 years later, God revealed to me what my mission is. And my mission is to write and to give. Me and my nephew have a company called Design Poetry Group. And we're a company of hope. We want to start with the youth because we want to let them know that there's more to life than drama, hatred, that kind of thing. So we want to teach them to express themselves. And we've embarked on doing workshops and presentations at different high schools around Denver. And our name is getting out there and we're growing and we're really trying to reach the nation.
And so your mom, you were how old when your mom died?
17.
And now you're?
I'll be 43 in about 3 weeks.
How did your mom die?
My mother died. She had asthma, and of course, back in the 80s, they didn't have the medicine or the technology that they have now. So we lost her. Basically, she captured pneumonia. All of her organs failed, and she died. Like I said, when I was a junior in high school, at age 17.
How did that impact you to lose your mom at the age of 17?
Well, my nephew Davon, who's along with me with Design Poetry Group, it's funny you say that because he mentioned to me last month. He said, it took your mother to die 25 years ago for you to realize your destiny. And that hit me so hard. It impacted me so emotionally that I actually cried right on the spot. So it has impacted me greatly. And it did take her death for me to realize my destiny. But that was all part of God's plan.
So poetry has really been sort of your outlet, would you say, or like it's been a healing tool for you?
You know, it always has because I've always been a prolific writer. I just didn't know that I was a prolific writer until age 40. But, you know, it's kind of funny. The way I look at it is it takes you away, but it keeps you engaged and it keeps you where you are so you can learn to cope with different things and different aspects of life.
And I'm working on a project called The Rhythm of Change. Right now, we just had the midterm elections. A lot of people are upset about the way that sort of turned out on a national level. A lot of people are struggling because we're in a recession. What does change mean to you, and what are you doing to bring about change in the world?
Change to me means taking the focus off of yourself. One of the things that my nephew and I do, and we know it's effective, is we don't think about our needs. We don't think about what we have to do to make things happen. I think people need to learn to think of the other person, because what will happen is it'll form a circle of reciprocation, and I think that's exactly what's needed, because if we learn to help each other, we're going to build this chain link fence that's just going to help the world heal. Now, that's not necessarily going to happen quickly, but if you start with one person, it just kind of snowballs, and that's what my nephew and I always hope for.
And so what would you say to people who are just really apathetic right now? They're upset. They don't know where to necessarily find their source of hope.
I would say dig as deep inside of yourself as you can. Look for support with family, friends, or whatever. Keep your mind focused on the prize and not, you know, the drudgery that you have to go through day to day, because life is more than drudgery. It's more than worrying about bills. It's more than worrying about the president. It's more than worrying about terrorists. You have to dig deep within to find that source of strength and just go with it and keep people around you who are positive.
And if you had to think back throughout your life experience as somebody who discovered a talent with poetry, as somebody who lost a mother at the age of 17, as someone who's also doing a practical piece of sustaining yourself as a taxi driver, what would you say is the most important lesson you've learned until today?
Well, the most important lesson in life for me is love. I think that we need to characterize love in better ways than sex and drama. I think people need to open their hearts and understand that everybody needs to be loved. And if you can learn to love, you'll get love.
Tell me just a little bit more about your poetry and how specifically you're using that to really inspire youth.
Well, my poetry is about relevance to life. I don't write fantasy. I don't write fiction at this point. At some point, maybe. But right now, I'm so keen on the world that everything we write, again, is about relevance to life, so people can learn to cope and heal and trust one another. Because too many times in life, there are people who don't trust anybody, and they're all alone. So they end up going to what I call, and it's in my book, it's called The Basement of the Mind. It's when you just lose all sense of reality and think that the world's after you. But, you know, again, people just need to dig deep inside and keep going. And my writing has affected people because my words are real and they're tangible and people have lived through this or they know someone who has lived through it. So through my words, I'm almost not necessarily preaching, but I'm teaching people to cope with life and death and everything in between, because if you don't have a crutch of some kind to lean on, typically you're going to fall over. So I'm just, again, that vessel of hope for whomever wants to read, listen, talk, interview, whatever they want to do with me. I'm always going to be a vessel of hope.
Give me some of the topics that you touch on with the youth that you're working with. Like, what are some of the issues that your poetry addresses?
Well, not necessarily my poetry, but just in general for the youth. You know, again, it's about love. It's about respect. It's about family. It's about putting other people first and taking the focus off yourself. And the other thing that I teach the kids is I teach them to learn to celebrate, you know, the small things in life. If you get a C minus and your next paper you get a C or a B minus, celebrate that, because too often, even as adults, we look for something huge to celebrate, and a lot of times that huge thing may not happen. So if you learn to celebrate the small things step by step, once you get that big thing to celebrate for, one, you'll appreciate it more, and one, it's definitely going to be merit because you learn that process of, you know, respecting others as well as appreciating everything you have and don't have.
And concretely, give me a couple of examples of issues that students that you've worked with have been encountering. It might be something in their home life. It might be anything.
Well,
give a couple of concrete examples.
Sure. I did a freshman academy at Montbello High School on August 3rd. And after we did our presentation, we got the kids engaged. I had a couple of students approach me that were sort of introverts, that they normally don't reach out to anyone. So effectively, my words, my presentation, my mission statement, the way I present it affected these kids. And one kid in particular, she was really an introvert. She really was not outgoing. She was sort of an outcast. She came up to me slowly, pulled out of her pocket, unfolded this writing piece. And what it was is a letter to her boyfriend because they broke up. And she was really sad about it, and she wanted me to read it and kind of critique it. So that's an example. You know, another example is also at that same function. You know, another guy came up to me. He had some poetry he wanted to read to me, and he really had never done that. And he's sitting in the auditorium with about 400 people reading his poetry to me. So those are effectively things that I conjured up, so to speak, and just with my whole heart, because I go at these kids with my heart, and they believe me.
And so right now we're at the National Women's Studies Association. That's what's been going on in the Sheraton. I don't know if you've had to, have you had to make many runs to the Sheraton this weekend?
No.
You haven't? This is your first one?
This is the first one, and it's the best one, by the way.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So it's the National Women's Studies Association. They're looking at ways that that people can influence politics, looking at gender issues, gender-based violence, violence against women, ways to engage men in the movement, all of this. And yesterday I interviewed a really interesting author. Her name is Courtney Martin, and she wrote a book called Do It Anyways. And it's about activism, and her view was, like, okay, we might not change the world tomorrow.
Right.
And so a lot of people talk themselves out of trying to do anything.
Right.
But really, what's the alternative? That was really her position. So what would you say? Why do you think it's important to do it anyways?
Well, I think if you have something that you know is going to help change and help affect it in a positive way, you do have to do it. You know, I did sales for 15 years before jumping in a cab, and I had one boss, one owner of a company who would always say, shoot now, aim later. Now, of course, there's a little bit of carelessness in that, but you have to really do it tactfully. But if there's something that's going to affect change, you have to be sort of revolutionary, because some of the things that I write about, people think about, but they're afraid to talk about it. So you have to just, it's almost like the Nike slogan, just kind of to take a tidbit off of that. You just have to just do it.
And we just had a midterm election. Can I ask you, were you able to vote?
Yes, I was, and I don't talk politics at all. I write about it, but I don't talk about it.
Okay, that's fine. But one thing she talked about is a lot of people, like, they are, they might be very disheartened with maybe the outcome of the midterm election, or... And so now they're upset and they don't know what to do. And she said it's just important to be an engaged citizen all the time. Why do you think that's important? And how are you an engaged citizen? I think you've alluded to it a lot.
Well, I mean, you know, you're engaged by getting involved. I mean, you can only be involved if you're engaged, and you can only be engaged if you're involved. So, you go with what your heart tells you to do. And again, if it affects change, that's going to be the positive influence that you're going to, you know, really, you know, devour society with, which is what we need, because there's so much negativity. And as far as the politics goes, here's the thing about it. I'll say one thing about it. It'll never be where everybody's happy. Someone's always going to point the finger at someone else. That's the politics game, and that's all I'll say about that.
And And what's your stake in making the world a better place?
Again, arm in arm, we can catapult this, you know, the sours of the world by just reaching out to other people. I think that that's the only way that we'll do it, because it has to take the focus off of the individual.
Anything else you want to add?
This has been a wonderful experience. This has just been great. I didn't expect this, but this is going to be a great day no matter how it ends up.
Thank you so much.